many know we serve an excellent God? Oh, we praise you today, Lord God. We love you today with all of our hearts. And we say thank you, Lord, for this privilege now, Lord, to hear the preaching of your precious word, which indeed is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So we pray, oh God, that we would be hearers today, but not just hearers, oh God, but that we respond with yes, Lord, yes to your will and way for our lives, and that we would go forth doers of your precious and holy word. We say thank you today, Lord, that your spirit is in our midst at this time. I ask that you would bless now the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts, that you would indeed give us understanding of your holy word and lead us in the way you want us to go. Thank you for the privilege to be connected with you, Lord Jesus. And we all join together to say hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, and amen. Praise God. Thank you, young people. Woo, woo, how excellent is the Lord. Amen, amen. Praise God. Our little ones being dismissed at this time? All righty. The little saints are on their way. Amen. Amen. All right, saints, if you would look in your order of service, you will see there is a sermon note sheet. And when you find that, what is our title for this Lord's Day?
Connect with Jesus.
Connect with Jesus. Amen and amen. All right. Now, over Vacation Bible School, our theme this past week was Connect with Jesus. And indeed, we had an awesome week. This week, on the first night, we studied faith with the centurion soldier. And then the next day, we were loving and learning how to love through the woman with the alabaster box. And then we went on to the story of the Samaritan woman, others, caring about others, finding Jesus. The lessons were so powerful, and they were so exciting. How many had a good time at Vacation Bible School? Amen and amen, amen. And we praise God for our experience this past week. And it was during Vacation Bible School, it was during our discussions, that I got to thinking like, wow, imagine what a difference this world would be if all Christians, if we were all intent on being and remaining connected with Jesus, what a difference this world would be. Jesus taught his followers in John 15:5, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If one remains in me and I in that one, he or she will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Amen. So saints, if we want to make a difference for God today, if we want to have the fruit in our lives that God calls us to have, we got to stay closely connected to Jesus. Amen. We have to stay closely connected to the precious Holy Spirit that is inside of us. Because apart from Jesus, we can do nothing of significance for God's glory. Amen. High five somebody right now and say, got to connect with Jesus. Got to connect with Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you would look at your sermon note sheet, I want us to read the first few verses, 13 through 15, where Peter there declares that Jesus is the Messiah. And we'll stop at 15. Together, saints. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? Amen. Well, years ago, there was a popular psalm that was recorded by Bill Withers. How many remember Bill Withers? In this song that he recorded, it asks two questions. Who is he and what is he to you? All right, all right, all right. Some of you all know it. Amen. All right. Maybe it's us old school folks, I guess. Well, the context of the song was speaking of a man who was suspicious of the activities of his girlfriend who had been seen frequently in the company of another man. Now, most of us in the same circumstance, we probably ask the same two questions. Who is he and what is he to you? All right. Who is she and what is she to you? For you see that no one's identity, it's important because identity reveals where we come from. It gives clues to our nature and our behavior. So the first question is an identification question. Who is he? Now, in the romantic context, identification simply describes the man in question. He may be tall, he may be dark, handsome, wealthy, intelligent, well-refined, and single. That's his identification. But in the same context, the second question is also important. What is he to you? Now, many marriages and relationships are dissolved each year over the answer to the second question. What is he to you? A friend, a business associate, an acquaintance, or an opportunity? All right. Well, for some, the question is never asked and the answer is just assumed. For others, the question is answered and the outcome is predetermined. So whether it's love or war, these two questions force deliberation and soul searching. Likewise, there's many in the world, saints today, who profess Jesus. They know his origins. They know where he came from. They know his life story. They know his deeds. Some people can recount the numerous activities from Jesus' birth all the way to his ascension. And there's no doubt that they know Jesus, and they have very little problem of identifying Jesus, but they come up short when they're asked, what is he to you? All right, now every Christian, every one of us who have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, and he's our friend, we with joy should just be saying, what is he to me? He's my Lord and my Savior. He's my King and my friend. He's my lily of the valley. He's my bright and morning star. Hallelujah. He is the joy of my life. Amen. That's what we should say when people ask us, what is Jesus to us? Well, we see in our text, Peter declares that Jesus is the Messiah. He is Jesus, Son of the living God. And what is he? He is the Lamb of God. He is our all in all. Well, let's just take a moment and look at who is he, saints. In our text, Matthew 16, 13 through 18, it considers Jesus as he talks with his disciples concerning the perception that people had of him. And he's surrounded by his disciples who knew him better than anyone. And Jesus asked the first of the two questions. Jesus says, who do people say the Son of Man is? Now, friends, it may have appeared a strange question for Jesus to ask, but the various answers that he received confirmed the diversity of opinion among the people about his ministry. Everybody thought they knew him, but only a very few actually knew who he was. Now, the responses we see here were varied. Some say that you are John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah the prophet. Some say you're Jeremiah the prophet or one of the other prophets. They knew him, but they didn't know him. Well, now, generally speaking, a person who knows you, amen, that's a person that knows what makes you happy. They know what makes you cry. They know what makes you sad, or they know what makes you angry. A person who knows you, for an example, they know that once you've given your word, you're not going to give up until you've tried your very all to keep your promise. That's a person that knows you, all right? A person that knows you, they know how to make you laugh, even when you don't want to laugh, amen? They know, because they know you. So all other relationships can be called acquaintances and contacts. But saints, today I want you to think about your life right now. where you are in your personal relationship with Christ. Now, in front of you are four chairs, amen. And I want to know, based on the description that I'm going to give you, which of these chairs you are sitting in this morning. And we're going to walk through a week in the life of Peter and how he moved from each of these chairs, amen. So I want you to identify yourself honestly with Peter as he walked through his life for a week, and we walk through each chair so that you can identify where you are in Christ. Amen. All right, now we each go through stages in our lives. Can you all see that? Is this better? Can you see that? All right, praise God. Now, we go through these stages in our lives. We have good days and we have bad days. We have happy days and sad days. And there are days when our faith is so strong, hallelujah, we can handle anything. You know what I mean, yeah. And then there are times when, oh my, it's only the grace and mercy of God that gets us through. Amen. Amen. We know about that. And as we look at one week in the life of Peter, I want us to think about your own situation. I want you to think about your own life and what chair you are currently sitting in. Amen. And we're going to see what the Lord has to say to us about connection today. Well, the first chair, can you see, what is that? Commitment. Commitment. Number one is commitment. In Matthew 16:16, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Well, the first chair is the chair of commitment. And the definition of commitment is to bind as by a promise. All right. So this is the chair that Peter is sitting in when he confessed, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And in this chair of commitment, we experience deep connection with Jesus. Jesus had asked his disciples who were the people saying he was, and the disciples gave him the answer of what they were hearing. And then Jesus asked, who did they say? Who did they think he was? And Peter quickly answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Peter was committed. He was in that first chair, saints. He had been personally recruited by Christ, and he had sat and listened to his teachings. He had watched miracle after miracle after miracle, and Christ had sent them out, and Christ had fed the multitudes, and he was there. He saw him calm the storm, and Peter himself actually had gotten out of the boat, and he began to walk on water in the presence of Jesus until he realized what he was doing, and he said, oh, and he started to go down. But he was in that chair of commitment. He was fully committed. He was fully connected. Everything was good. Everything was going well. Things were good for Peter. Well, saints, it is a joy to be able to sit in that chair of commitment when things are going well, when things are going smoothly in our lives. Oh, everything is falling into place. You see, the successes of our decisions are evident. Things are good at home. They're good in our marriage. They're good on the job. Things are going good at school. They're just going good in our finances. Things are just going good. You can look around and see the results of your efforts. You can see your handiwork. You can see fruit. And it feels good to see that something is coming forth. Now, if you're sitting in that chair of commitment, I want to say to you today, friend, hold on tight. Just nudge your neighbor and say, hold on tight, neighbor. Hold on tight. Let the presence of the Lord be evident in your life. Hold on tight. Don't let the storms of life come and blow you out of that chair. Hallelujah. Keep on living a holy life. Keep on investing into God's kingdom. Keep on trusting in the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't let anyone pull you out of that chair. Hold on to that chair, my friend. Oh, praise God. You will know for sure, how strong your commitment is when trouble arrives in your life. Amen. Amen. hold on to that chair. Let's read a little further and examine the next chair. And the chair that Peter also sat in when things started to go downhill. All right. According to how he was interpreting his circumstances. What is the second chair, saints? It is a chair of conflict. Matthew 16, 21 through 23, it says, "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised up on the third day. Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke Jesus, saying, 'God forbid, Lord, this shall never happen to you.' But he turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, oh, but merely on human concerns.'" All right, and then we see in 31 and 32, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." All right, saints, in that second chair of conflict, at this point in Peter's life, conflict arose. His world was about to change his mind for the worse. Peter could not imagine Jesus being killed. It just really threw him into conflict. He had not even established his kingdom yet, and he was talking about being killed. I also think, saints, that Peter also wondered what was going to happen to him. What was going to happen to them if Jesus was killed? This newfound life that Peter had now, would it be over if Jesus was killed? So he's thinking of all of these things, all of these things. Would he have to go back to his old occupation of being a fisherman? Saints, although scripture doesn't tell us what he may be thinking, these would be the normal thoughts of a person, amen, in Peter's condition, amen. So it's just to let the Holy Ghost, you know, just anoint your thinking and imagination, amen. If this was not bad enough, look at what Luke records in Luke 22. Jesus told Peter that Satan had demanded permission to test Peter. Woo, I believe because he saw that Peter was in conflict. So he demanded the opportunity to test Peter. He saw that he was in conflict with what Jesus had said to him and to the other disciples. But Jesus told him that he had prayed for him, hallelujah, that his faith would not fail. You see, Satan saw this as an opportunity, a chance to add more conflict, more turmoil in Peter's life in hopes of making him lose his faith. Oh, Satan is busy, saints. And saints, when we have conflict in our own lives, all right, if you're not in that chair today, keep living. There's some conflict's going, amen, it's going to be coming, all right? You got to hold on to that first chair, but conflict is coming our way, amen. But when we have conflict in our lives, and sometimes you just don't even expect where it's coming from, it's like, what? And then you turn around and say, what? Ooh, it's like, wow. But when all this is coming, sometimes our faith gets shaken, you know. We forget about what God has spoken to us in God's word. Just as Peter forgot, he had sat in that chair of commitment down there. But he forgot. He started to get shaky thinking about the situation. Saints, likewise, during our weak moments, it's when Satan really comes into our lives and starts attacking us in hopes of shaking us up so badly that we too fall in despair. But, everybody say, but there is hope, hallelujah. There is hope, there is hope, there is hope. Oh, just as Jesus prayed for Peter, Jesus is interceding for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you're praying for us. Thank you, Lord. If anyone can get an answer through, it's Jesus. Hallelujah. It's Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying, saints? Are you sitting in the seat of conflict today? Is your faith today wavering because of situations in your life? Are you struggling today to try to understand why things are happening in your life the way they are happening? It's like, what? What is going on? I want to encourage you today. Do not lose faith. Amen. Do not lose faith. Do not lose faith. Hallelujah. Jesus is interceding on your behalf. He's interceding. He's praying for you. Just encourage somebody right now and say, Jesus is praying for you. Jesus is praying. Hallelujah. Praying for you. Now, saints, we move on to the third chair, which is compromise. Now, later in Luke chapter 22, verses 54 through 55, we find Peter in a situation that is the direct result of conflict that is going on within him. Luke 22, 54 says, then seizing him, they led him away and took him to the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. He started off in that commitment chair. Hallelujah. Then conflict. He sat in that chair. And now we see compromise. Oh, we see issues starting to come up in his life. Things weren't going well. And we see him in the conflict mode. Oh, and then Satan enters into the picture and begins to test Peter. All right, the first test, Peter fails because he's sitting in the compromise chair, saints. In these verses, Peter has the opportunity to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Yet because of internal conflict, he was having some of the deepest fear of his life. And he chose to sit in the seat of compromise. He chose to deny Christ in order to save himself. When the soldiers arrested Christ, Peter immediately went into the self-preservation mode. All right, we have to watch that. We all can get into that mode really easy. And in this chair of compromise, the connection with Jesus Christ, amen, it ain't so tight. It is not tight like it was in the chair of commitment. All right. In this chair, the connection with Jesus isn't what it should be. Well, although Peter loved Christ enough to follow Jesus to the house of the high priest, he was still so scared. And while he was standing outside, he had three opportunities to stand to admit that he was a follower of Jesus Christ, but he did not do it. And it got so bad that Matthew records that Peter actually cursed and swore that he did not know Christ. He was really sitting in that chair. Jesus had already told Peter, you're going to fail this test. You're going to fail it. But Christ did tell him, don't lose faith. You're going to fail it, but don't lose faith. Hallelujah. Again, saints, we see when Satan had requested to test Peter, Jesus told him that he had prayed for him. Hallelujah. And that once he had turned back to strengthen his brothers, to strengthen all of the other disciples. Hallelujah. In other words, Jesus told Peter to take his failure and to use that failure to strengthen the other disciples. Hallelujah. That's what we can do with our failure, saints. Everyone in this sanctuary today, we've all had the opportunity to sit in that chair of compromise. Things that we hold deeply and things that we believe, we have had the opportunity to deny. We've been faced with situations, all of us, where we felt that although we know we were compromising, we know we were giving in, we just said, oh, God understands. God will forgive me. I know I'm compromising, but God will forgive me. Sometimes the compromise is small. Sometimes the compromise in our lives is so big, it's so large, that we would rather die than have what we did revealed to the public eye. Sometimes it's small, sometimes it's big. The definition of compromise is to make concessions. It means to meet halfway. So saints, in our walk with Christ, we cannot compromise on what Christ has told us to do. Amen. We got to be obedient in our lives. Now, not all compromise is bad, because compromise can be useful, bringing resolutions to problems in meetings and in relationships, in families, in marriages. All right. However, when we compromise our beliefs, when we compromise our faith in Jesus Christ, saints, that is where we must not consistently go. So I want to ask you today, Do you feel, do you think as you're reflecting on your life that you're sitting in the chair of compromise? You know that you're doing something that God would not have you to be doing. You're in relationship with someone that you know you should not be in relationship with. It is a compromise. So ask yourself, be honest, honest with yourself today. Then let's move on to the next chair, amen. What chair is that? The chair of forgiveness. Now, saints, the definition of forgiveness is to pardon, amen. So before Peter had entered any of the chairs, before he sat in any of them, Jesus had already forgiven him. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise your name, Lord Jesus. And all of us have sat in one of these chairs. All of us, saints. Amen. At some point in time in our lives. Now, you know, the other chairs do not matter if we have never accepted Jesus' full pardon and forgiveness for our sins. You must sit in this chair. We all must sit in this chair of forgiveness. Amen. This is the chair. Jesus has pardoned our sins. And Jesus continues as we confess our sins. God says God is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins. Our sins today, our sins tomorrow. Amen. And will purify us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Amen. Now, if you have never sat in this chair of forgiveness, you cannot understand the power that is available to you, my friend. You can't understand it when you are tempted. Amen. That and God will forgive you. God will forgive you if you will honestly confess. Amen. So that you then can go back to the chair number one there of commitment. Amen. Now, the reason we all are here today is because Jesus Christ died on the cross. He was buried and he rose again that we might have life. Our sins are forgiven. Amen. And his death and his resurrection, praise God, has brought us into a harmonious connection with God, a harmonious relationship with God. Amen. If there's a connection, which means that we are always allowed to come and sit in this chair of commitment. Amen. You got to sit in forgiveness first. All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we have to receive that forgiveness and then go to the chair of commitment. Now, I want to ask you today, which chair today are you sitting in? Are the circumstances of your life, are they bringing you into so much conflict and you have sat down in that chair? Have the circumstances in your life or somebody in your life or something that you're doing, you know it in your heart, you have sat in the chair of compromise. Well, are you finding yourself always in the chair of forgiveness? You just keep on, oh God, forgive me, God, forgive me. You know, you got to get out of the chair, and then you got to get into this chair, but you got to get up out of this chair, amen. Stop keep saying, oh God, forgive me every night. Oh God, I did the same thing. No, all right, by the power of God, get up and go over to the chair of commitment, amen, amen, praise God. Friends, I have found myself sitting in each one of these chairs. Over the years, I have. But my desire is to never sit in these two chairs. I don't want to ever sit in these two chairs again. From time to time, I have to sit in this chair, but then I run, hallelujah, back over to that chair of commitment. Amen. Oh, praise your name, Lord Jesus. Which chair are you sitting in today? How are you responding to the same situations in your life that Peter faced in his? You know, saints, it's so interesting that Jesus was not just satisfied with hearing what the people thought of him, but made his question more personal. And he asked Peter directly, who do you say that I am? Oh, in essence, saints, Jesus is asking, what am I to you? What am I to you? Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And he emphasized what Jesus was to him, his personal Savior. Now, friends, there are many people today who know Jesus, But they give the devil very little room to be jealous. Because you see, their relationship with Jesus is so distant, if it's hardly any relationship at all. It's just so sad. The devil don't even have to get jealous because they don't really know Jesus. Amen. According to God's wise plan in Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13, our Old Testament text, God's people were to have a hope and a future. Consequently, we can always call on God in confidence. We see here in Jeremiah chapter 29, they were in a difficult place. They were in a very hard way. But Jeremiah 29, 11 is telling them, don't despair, because they had God's presence, amen. They had the privilege of prayer. They had the privilege of God's mercy and grace, hallelujah. And we do too, saints, amen. God can be found when we seek the Lord wholeheartedly, amen. So often we feel that God is so far away. God is not present. God is not hearing my prayers. But God is not being there in the way we want God to be. And maybe, saints, it's because we haven't made a place for God inside of us, amen. We're so filled up with our own addictions. We're so filled up with our own compulsivity activity. We're so filled up with ourselves that we leave no room for God. Oh, you know, saints, that's why we have to be devoted and disciplined in our devotions with the Lord. Amen. We have to open up the Word of God and know what it says for ourselves. Claim the promises in there. We got to come out to Bible study with the saints. Amen. And grow. We've got to create a place for God in our hearts and in our lives. Hallelujah. Oh, dear one, Scripture says, seek the Lord with your whole heart. Hallelujah. And when we do, we will experience peace that surpasses all understanding. It don't matter what kind of conflict is coming. You're going to hold on to that chair right there because you know God has prepared a prosperity for you, a hope and a future. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. I want to ask you today, how well do you know Jesus? How well are we connected? Are we sitting at his feet each and every morning and throughout the day and at night, listening to his voice and what Jesus is saying so well that no conflict, no situation, no person could come in and make us doubt him and go sit in this chair. Nothing could come in our lives to make us go and compromise because we know we're connected with the Lord so well. Oh, we've all heard the songwriter declare, Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him, I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go. No other one can cheer me so. Oh, when I am sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend. Is that your testimony today? Oh, it's my prayer for each one of us today, saints. Each of us here, hallelujah, that we could truthfully, from the depths of our hearts, proclaim, Jesus, you are my all in all. Jesus, you are everything to me. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want you to be blessed now as our liturgical dancers are going to come forward and they're going to close the message with Jesus, you are. How about you today? As they are dancing before you, Jesus, you are. I want you to reflect on your own life and determine which chair are you sitting in. And saints, after getting up out of this chair of forgiveness, this is the chair where we want to be. The chair of commitment. The chair of being committed and connected with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, you are everything to me.